You have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. I want to talk to you this morning about the rules of accountability. I think all of us occasionally we reminisce over the past and we remember the days when we were in high school. We thought we were indestructible and we were never going to get old. But surprise, here we are, you know. But I can remember what it was like to be a little bit in high school. There was the fun in the halls, the clowning around, the memories of some athletic achievements. And maybe there was even a few timid efforts at romance. Then there were the books and the studies. Our parents were kind of funny because they had the idea that that was the most important part of high school. But they didn't get us to buy into that. Later, maybe you had some regrets over the fact that you knew that you didn't work very hard, you didn't study like you should have, and yet you still made it through, but college was looming around the corner. And when you go to college, you learn that things are a little bit different than they were in high school. You learn the fact that if you don't study, and if you don't do the assigned work, they don't mind giving you a failing grade. Until a student learns the rules, student life can be hazardous. I want to take just a little bit of time this morning and take this very same idea of accountability to another field altogether. The Bible tells us in the book of Micah, the prophet asked this question of our accountability to God when he said, What doth the Lord require of thee? Now we know in the New Testament, in the kingdom parables of Jesus, they are especially instructive in helping us to understand the answer to this question. And I think Jesus lays out quite plainly in the parables what he requires of us. In Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14 and reading through verse 30, he gives us one of the kingdom parables. And in this particular parable, God is pictured as the master of the house. He is the owner of a vineyard. He places his property in the hands of a servant. And in the absence of the master, the servant has liberty to manage the master's money, his land, and houses. And the master wants the servant to perform in a certain way until he returns. Now, he's going to be gone for a while, but he is coming back. And that is the basic plot of the parables. But what it's telling us is that God is the owner of this old world. And you and I have been assigned a task. We've been given talents and several abilities in order that we might use them for the honor and the glory of God, and we're to give it back to Him with usury or interest. Now keep in mind that as servants, we're given trust, we're given time, and we're also given freedom. And then we know that what is expected of us is laid out, and we have a brief time in order for us to accomplish what he has called upon us to do as we manage his holdings. You see, I don't own anything. You don't own anything. All that we have has been lent to us by God, and he's going to require of us that we stand before him and account for what we've done with what he's placed in our hands. Well, number one, we are to be prepared for the master's return. How do you get ready for the return of the master of all life, the owner of all that is, the keeper of time itself? How do you get ready for the meeting with him? Well, there are two basic ways. You can take what we would call maybe the emergency route. This may involve some type of religious decision or commitment. Maybe it is during a time of revival. We're challenged by the evangelist, and the Holy Spirit of God deals with our heart and takes that word of God like a sharp sword, and it pierces into the depths of our soul. Exposes our sin, and we go to the altar and make a rededication. We make a commitment. Or maybe it is that we grow sick and we're taken to the hospital, and there's a possibility that we'll not get out. And we make a decision there on the bed of the hospital. Oh, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, then, Lord, I'll serve you. I do want to remind you this morning that there's another way that's a whole lot more preferable. And I think this is the sense of the teaching of the story. The people in the parable are doing their God-assigned task. To one, they were given 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And they went out when they came to the time of meeting with the Lord and giving account for what they had done. The one that had the 5, he said, Lord, I went out and I gained you 5 others. The one that had 2 said, Lord, I gained you 2 others. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Now that they were doing what they were called upon by God to do. You know, there's something about being faithful to the Lord as we serve him. Faithful to do what he has called us to do every day. We don't always have to come down and make a rededication, but we simply have to come into the house of God and serve him with all of our hearts, and we do this faithfully. Dee forgot to set his clock, didn't he? It doesn't work, does it? Now I don't know where I was at. No. Hey, you know, when you come to church and you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. You get up from that altar. Nobody had to tell me that I need to come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning. I just knew that that's what God expected of me. And I also knew that he expected me to serve him. And I tried to the best of my ability to serve him, even as a lad of 14 years of age. And I was doing what God called me to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be an individual that every day that I get up and I determine I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to do what God wants me to do today. In my world where He's placed me, I want to be faithful to do what God wants me to do. Now, I started out walking with the Lord when I was 14. I'm 39 several times. But I'm going to tell you, it's grown sweeter as the days have gone by. It's better today than it's ever been, and I know that I'm getting closer to the other side, but I don't mind it. Because I know that there's something better for me and for all the children of God if I am faithful. I mean, there are times where we may need to come for a rededication and a commitment of our life to the Lord, but basically, we're doing what God called us to do every day of our life. And if we do that, the parable tells us that He will commend us. We don't have to be Superman. We don't have to do something great. All we have to do is just be faithful to do what He called us to do. And if we do that, He will commend us and say, well done. Then we live with a sense of time. You see, the spirit of the parable is one of expectation and anticipation. Life is precious and it's irreplaceable. You're just passing through. We're here for a while and then we're gone. And you know, when you look in the Bible, you see, and He died, and He died, and He died. We're not destined to live here forever. Methuselah lived to be 969 years of age, but he died. But the soul of a man never dies. And that's the good news that I share with you this morning, is that even though we die, we don't die. We just lay down this robe of flesh, this old tent, this tabernacle. The soul goes to meet God. And so if we've been faithful in doing the things that God's called us to do, you may not stand out in the eyes of the crowd, but if you're faithful to come to the house of God and serve the Lord and do what God's called you to do, God will commend you. He will commend you. And then the Bible tells us that if we start out in the race and we start well, we run well. We certainly want to finish well. And that's really what we're talking about here. The Bible says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I want to work while it's day. I want to work while I can. I want to work and serve Him because He's given me the opportunity and a privilege. And I want you to know it is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege that He reaches down and picks us up out of sin and washes us white as snow. It is a privilege to be a child of the King. Amen. And it's going to be a privilege on that day when we stand before Him and He recognizes us and calls us by name, and He says, well done, and calls you by name, thou good and faithful servant. Then we're to learn to work apart from Him. Now, the scripture tells us that He assigned them their responsibilities, and that He went on a journey. But He said, I'll come back. Now, it just reminds me of the fact this morning that there are times in our life when it may be that God is not just right there with us. And we've always thought, you know, it's always been our theology and belief that He's just as close as a prayer. And I believe that. But I also recognize that he assigned us a task and that he went on a journey. But he said, I'll be back. There may be some times in our life when it feels like God is not always there. That he's not always right there to help us in our times of need. Well, I remind you of the fact that we have an assigned task, and I think that's really what he's trying to tell us here. If we have an assigned task and we've got a time limit to do it, because he's coming back. And when he comes back, we want to be ready for that time and for that hour that he comes again and calls us home. You remember when you were a child, maybe mama asked you to do something. You really didn't want to do it. But because mama was right there, you did it. But if mama went on a journey, if she went to town, if she went to the store, you would kind of hesitate about doing that work until you saw the car pulling up in the driveway, and then you'd get busy. The same principle is true in the spiritual. If we think we're in pretty good health, you know, I mean, I feel good and I'm all right. I think I'm going to live for a while. We have a tendency to put off doing what God wants us to do. But oh, if we think, if the doctor comes and tells us, now, you've got a fatal disease and you're going to die, then all of a sudden your perspective changes, doesn't it? All of a sudden you want to give thought to the spiritual. I cannot imagine somebody coming to the time of death and not being concerned about the spiritual. Brother, when I think about eternity and I think about heaven and then I think about the alternative of hell, I don't know how anybody cannot think about making ready to meet God. Sometimes we grow careless. We need to be careful. Let me give you one last principle. The last rule of our accountability is found in what God calls to be fair. You know, we think that God ought to treat everybody just alike. And that's what we call fair. Let me blow your mind just a little bit. Notice Jesus said, how terrible it will be for you, Chorazin, how terrible for you too, Bethsaida, if the miracles which were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, the people there would have long ago sat down, put on sackcloth and sprinkled ashes on themselves to show that they had turned from their sins. God will show more mercy on the judgment day to Tyre and Sidon than he will to you. Have you ever thought about there are people in this world that haven't heard? And there are people in this world who have faint knowledge of who Jesus is. But here in America, we're blessed. We have churches all over. We have the gospel being preached on the radio and television. We have opportunities to serve the Lord that they don't have. We have the church that calls us to repentance. We know what it is to study the Word of God, know what God expects and requires of us. You see, we are a blessed people. But from whom much is given, much is required. You see, I believe that we're going to be more accountable to God because of all the blessings that's been bestowed upon us than those that have been less blessed. This morning, if you've heard the gospel, and you've heard the gospel, and you're still in your sins, it'll be that you'll be inexcusable when you stand before God. You see, the most important thing that you have to do in this life is not to make a lot of money, not to have a big home, not to have a fat bank account, is to get ready to meet God, to do the will and the bidding of God. And when that time comes that you leave here, you'll be ready to meet Him. Everything else pales in significance to the fact of being ready to meet God. So the question I'd ask is, are you ready to meet Him this morning? If not, the good news is you can get ready right here today. Isn't that good news? You can get ready. You say, preacher, that sounds good to me. We're going to have a word of prayer. And you can step out and come to the altar after we pray. And we'll pray with you and you can leave here a child of the King. Let's bow for prayer.